Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk hockey. And who better to talk it with than our friend Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. And Jason, that was an interesting day yesterday. I thought of everything that was said, even with the edge that Jim Rutherford had, that you're back and forth with Chris Letang, mostly a back from him, was really the most interesting thing all day because, and I'll tell you why, we talked about this earlier, it gave me what I think is a window into how conversations might go between Mike Sullivan and Chris Letang, who does not want to change the way that he plays the game.
Yeah, Joe, and I think he also, I don't think, understands what the change means. Like, nobody's asking him to dial it back 100% and become Rob Scuderi. You're just asking him to know when the right time is, when it isn't the right time, or at least identify when it's the wrong time to take a gamble. And, you know, I think in what I wrote, I used the term score and situation, or, you know, in football, you'd say down and distance. It's the same deal. And that sort of awareness just isn't there with Letang. And I wasn't asking him if he was going to overhaul how he plays hockey. It was just more, do you think maybe you have to be a little bit more conservative? He did not appreciate the line of questioning. I know I'm certainly not alone in that regard, but it was an interesting one for sure.
You're not alone, because I got the same response when I asked him after the game. Basically, I phrased it more delicately, but how could you screw up like that right after your team scores? And I think that's what everybody in the organization was asking, Jason. And the thing that I found jarring is he made those comments, and then we hear Sullivan and to a lesser degree, Rutherford say, hey, we got to play a certain way. We got to be all team, not taking stupid chances. And my interpretation was he's going to do whatever the hell he wants.
And I don't think that's going to play with the coach.
And I don't either.
Think it's going to play.
I mean, but is that a fair interpretation? That
100%.
You know what? You may want to play this way, but I'm going to do this. And, you know, we talked earlier about who the untouchables are on this team. And I had three. I think Joe has four. I'm not going to put Malkin untouchable, even though I know he's going to be back. I said Crosby, Gensel, Murray. I'm not putting Letang as an untouchable, are you?
I would not either. Absolutely not. I would maybe put him, though, as untradeable, but I would not put him as untouchable. If Jim made it known that he would listen on offers for Letang and he got something back, I would absolutely do it. I think this team is capable of winning without him. I mean, is he an elite player when he is on and not taking, you know, unnecessary risks? Absolutely. I think the top end with Chris Letang is about as high as it possibly gets when you're talking about NHL defensemen. But back to your Ron, I mean, I 100% agree with that assessment. I thought it was pointed or interesting or whatever that Sullivan and Rutherford made a point to say high risk, and they were too high risk a lot of times. And that's, when you talk about Letang's game, it's exactly what it is. And they need to be less high risk. They need to be a little bit more conservative. And Letang doesn't want to change it. And if he doesn't want to change it, I mean, what else are you left to do other than, you know, maybe look for guys who will play that style for you?
Who's trying to call you, Jason? Is that Rutherford or maybe Letang?
Nobody's trying to call me. I'm not hearing anything. That might be on your end, pal.
I don't think
No, it's not on our end. We don't get phone calls when you're on the line.
It sounds like somebody's calling you, but that's beside the point.
That's beside the point, Jason.
I'm on my cell phone, and my cell phone is off.
All right. And it's a mystery.
What do you make of, Malkin said it after the game. Letang said it. They wanted it more than we did. And then for the GM to say, we got guys here who are comfortable. Too comfortable. We need the eagerness back. What did you make of that? And do you have a guess who it was directed at?
I went through in the piece I wrote today about like who he might have been talking about with that. And so if you narrow down their two-time cup winners, I believe there's 11 on the team. And he said, quote, where they're at in their careers. To me, that means we're not going to be talking about Matt Cullen here, and we're probably not going to be talking about the 20-year-old. So you've got Crosby, Hornquist, Malkin, Kessel, and Letang. I can't sit here and question Crosby and Hornquist's, you know, want to or how much they put into this thing. It's the other three that I think we're talking about here. So we're left with Malkin, Kessel, and Letang, that they've gotten a little too comfortable. And, you know, even with that, like Letang, I don't know if you'd say he's gotten too comfortable, but with Malkin and Kessel, I think those are your, you know, deductive reasoning. Those are the two guys you're kind of talking about. And it's one of the reasons why I think, and Ron, you and I have talked about this, that they're going to listen on Kessel, same as they did the past two summers. But I think the threshold is a heck of a lot lower than it was previously in terms of what they're expecting to get back for him.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. Back to Letang for a minute, because someone responded to one of your tweets today with some numbers. I didn't get a chance to check them all, but at the start he was on track, so I'm gonna take this as accurate. 2016 and 17, he basically missed half the season, and they had the exact same record, basically, with and without him.
And then they went on to win the Cup without him.
And yes, that small detail, they won the Stanley Cup without him. This year, they played 65 games with him, and they had a 60% point percentage, and 17 games without him at 65%. You heard Rutherford and Sullivan both make reference to March as the month we, quote, played the right way. And I don't like to draw, like, too many or insult Letang here, because he's a great player, and he's passionate, and he won a Stanley Cup here. But I would phrase it this way, Jason. I think that the Penguins, to get to their A-plus game, their dynastic game, need Letang at his best. But I think they can still play an A game without him. They prove they could win a cup without him. And that's a large sample size that shows me they can still win without him. What do you make of those numbers?
I agree with you 100%, Joe, and I would take it a few steps further and add this. Look at the Islanders. How many Chris Letangs do they have on their blue line? They have a bunch of guys who want to buy into the coach's system and do exactly what he's preaching. I'm pretty confident that Mike Sullivan didn't trot out a game plan against the Islanders of, you know, taking 100 chances. Yes, he wants his defensemen to pinch a heck of a lot more than Barry Trotz does his. But there's a middle ground there, and Letang does not seem interested in the least in the middle ground. If you can have a conversation with him and be convinced that he's going to fit within the Penguins' structure, I would never, ever trade him, even the injury concerns. I think he's that good. But if he's not going to, if he's going to be defiant and say, I'm going to play a certain way and kind of laugh at the idea that he dial his game back, then to me, I think you can, you know, you can skin a cat multiple ways. And I would look to do that and move in the other direction. I would trust, you know, systematic, structured hockey, which I think the NHL is trending toward. And if people crucify you for trading Letang, I mean, so be it. I'd live with it.
See, I don't think the fan base necessarily would. It seems to me...
It's split, man. It's real split.
What would it be like? Let's say Jim Rutherford made it be known he was listening on Letang. What do you think the market would be like? And do you think that the Penguins would have to retain some salary? How would that shake out?
Yeah, that's tough to say. I mean, I would imagine the Penguins wouldn't let him go for nothing the way they might do with Kessel, just to get the money, cap space, send the message, etc. I mean, he's been so good at you know, during the high points of his career that you would have to get something back. And I think that would mix with, do you take money back? You know, if they wind up with a premium prospect or a high round pick or something like that, maybe at that point you're able to eat $1 million or something like that. But I would imagine that you have to get something that you can sit here and say, we made this for a reason. We just didn't dump it because, you know, this guy was an attitude problem, which I don't think he is. You know, I don't want to construe it like that. But I think you have to get something in return that makes it worth your while.
So where does Justin Schultz fit in all this, Jason? He is 1 year left. He's making 5.5. I would think he's going to maybe make more than Letang annually, or at least as much here or somewhere else. Like, can you afford both, and how does Schultz's situation impact what they do, or really more accurately, how does Letang's situation impact what they do with Schultz here? Are they going to sign him?
Well, if they keep Letang here, I see no way they can sign Schultz. I mean, that's an exorbitant amount of money to pay on the right side of your, you know, defensive depth chart. It's just, you know, Schultz, what he's going to make on his next contract based on what he's done, it's going to be very high. If they decide to move on from Letang, let's say they do swing something, and again, I don't think that's terribly likely, but in the event it does happen, yeah, then I think you can make a run at Schultz and try to keep him because I think he's worthwhile. But I think you have to kind of wait and see. You have to see what you have with Letang first. You have to have those conversations. You certainly have a year with Schultz left to kind of buy your time. You're going to see what happens with Schultz health and productivity-wise. As long as that checks out, and let's say Letang plays ball and gives them what they want, then I think that's too much money wrapped up in two similar players that, you know, both of those guys should be quarterbacking their own power play, in my opinion, and they're having to split reps here. And I would imagine that Schultz, with this being, you know, either his last, I don't want to say last contract, but at least next to last contract, is going to want to make some money.
Do you believe that Malkin is an untouchable as far as the organization is concerned?
I do. I think they'd like to see him retire as a Penguin, Ron.
Now, let me ask you if that should be the case. My argument, and I'm not saying give him away, don't get me wrong, but he's going to be 33 on July 31st. He's coming off, I think, and by his admission, a bad year. What was he, minus 25?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see him dominate games the way he used to. I know he's still a point producer. Why don't you at least investigate what he can bring you?
Because I think it sends off kind of the wrong message for the franchise at this point, and I don't think they have to go there. I mean, I think it should be, you know, sort of a sobering reality. I think they should recheck a lot of the stuff they do, but I don't think they should blow up their entire structure over, you know, one crappy playoff and not a great regular season either. I mean, I think you need some historical perspective on this and what Malkin means to the Penguins as a whole. I mean, hasn't he done enough to deserve a mulligan? He's had a bad season. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't look at this and say, and maybe he's even a little bit in decline, but it was very high to begin with. I'm not sure the decline is the worst thing in the world. To me, what you need is what the Penguins are going to do and get some, you know, kind of young, hungry forwards, guys with a little bit more of a fire burning than somebody like Kessel that can help Malkin out. Maybe he clicks with one of these guys. Maybe Jared McCann, who's another one they acquired that they really like, maybe he develops some chemistry with Malkin. I think it's more about putting Malkin in the right position than it is saying, this guy can't help us, we're going to make a drastic move, and then everybody's going to look at the Penguins and say, what the heck is going on here?
Now, you included Malkin as a potential three guys for guys who may be too comfortable with where they at. Having you said that, are you saying that you don't believe he's one of those legitimate guys?
No, I mean, I think what Rutherford was saying is maybe applicable to Malkin, and maybe Malkin has to change the way he plays, and maybe they need to get a little bit more out of him. Productivity-wise, that's certainly the case, and I think a lot of people are, you know, upset right now, and it wouldn't really behoove Rutherford to sit there and go player by player and make those comments and single guys out. But, you know, I'm just saying, if you go through the list and pick who he could be talking about, I mean, he had a bad year. He had a really bad year. And I think some of Malkin's game is not necessarily how much he cares, because I think he does care, but it's almost like Letang. You know, it's a scoring situation thing. It's knowing that sooner or later this guy has to stop taking offensive zone penalties at bad times. Sooner or later he has to stop giving the puck up at inopportune times and you know, kind of doing stupid stuff for lack of any sort of technical term. And I think this offseason, like it will with a lot of guys, is going to require a little bit of a tough conversation to try to fix that stuff.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette joining us. Jason, time is winding down and there's too many topics to cover, so we need to go to a game of free association where you answer very quickly, perhaps even with just a yes or a no. Are you game for that?
Let's do it.
Phil Kessel, a Penguin when the season starts?
No.
Patrick Hornquist?
Yes.
Nick Bjugstad?
Yes.
Brian Rust?
Yes.
Where will Jared McCann be playing?
With Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel.
Jack Johnson?
Yes.
Will he be among the top six or an extra defenseman at 3 point whatever?
I think they'll try to get him among the top six.
Olli Maatta?
No, will not be a Penguin.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
You mentioned Jack Johnson. What did you make of Sullivan? I mean, Rutherford doubling down again on his defense. And to me, my interpretation was that was directed specifically at everybody who wants to get rid of Jack Johnson and criticize him because he's been way over the top when it comes to Jack Johnson. What do you make of him doubling down like that?
I have two thoughts on that, Ron. One, I wonder if Rutherford's not saying that and sort of doubling down on stuff because he's just – maybe he's trying to trade Jack Johnson and like doesn't want to admit that things have gone poorly. But the other side of me also thinks, okay, they really like him and he's just not going to do it. And we're all crazy for thinking that he would potentially do it. But realistically, I look at Jack Johnson's contract in 4 years, 3.25 for a guy that age coming off this season, and how are you going to be able to trade that? I just don't think Rutherford can get out from under the deal at this point.
I agree with that, but how can you keep a guy that the coach doesn't deem good enough to play in the first playoff game?
Right.
When he's healthy.
I know. And okay, if Rutherford was presented with a deal where somebody would take Jack Johnson, I think it would be smart, and I think they would have to consider it. I just don't think that deal is going to come across Rutherford's desk. And I have a tough time seeing if he's on the team. You can't pay 3.25 for a guy that you're going to healthy scratch. I can't see that. I think they're going to try to get something out of him, try to put him in a situation for him to succeed.
Whatever it was, him doubling down on this being his best defense core since he got to Pittsburgh, I found unbelievably insulting to guys who raised the cup, including Ian Cole, Ben Lovejoy, Trevor Daley, Ron Hainsey. Those guys did it. These guys got swept in the first round, and each one of them had at least one gaffe that I can mention off the top of my head. I just found it incredibly insulting to those guys.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. You're coming off a year where they struggled defensively for a large part. They're trying to cobble this stuff together. They have guys hurt, other guys not performing all that well, and that's the hill we're going to die on here. I did not understand it at all, but again, the same as a lot of us have looked at this Jack Johnson thing, and I don't think any of the three of us have said it's cataclysmic, but I mean, we're not sitting here, about to nominate Jack Johnson for an all-star team or something like that. I mean, he's been okay to maybe below average.
Back to our game very quickly here, Jason.
Yep.
Ole is a no. He won't be back.
I think he'll be traded, yes.
Good. Branson.
I think he will be back.
Will be back. Matt
back.
Murray gets a new deal this offseason?
Yes.
And last but not least, the way the NHL goes, no respect for coaches. If they got off to a horrible start next season, would Sully be in any kind of trouble?
I think he would. After 20 games, and it's not because Sully stinks as a coach. It's because the NHL system with coaches stinks, and you're kind of forced to do something.
Jason, great stuff and great coverage of the team, no matter what Chris Letang thinks.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for having me every week. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. Thank you, Jason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.